percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers, with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual, share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Hello, it's Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio, thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. A great guest coming up tonight, Leslie Kane. She's going to be talking about surviving death. A journalist investigates the afterlife. And be sure and listen to the last segment, because that's when we get into the stuff with the physical medium. You don't read about this stuff everywhere. And I've done tons of research, a lot of reading. This is a very unique experience that she talks about, physical mediumship. And she has a really extraordinary result. So Leslie Kane, my guest, coming up a little bit later. First, just kind of recapping, did the Weston Ghost Tales event, and this is, what, four nights this year, they expanded it, had some fun experiences. Do want to mention that one of the houses on the tour is so extremely haunted that the owner, who's now had it 12 years, isn't sure if they will ever live in it full time. And I remember talking to him a few years back, and they were planning to retire and then move full time to Weston. They won the house. The house was dilapidated, and then the state put it up for sale. They made a bid, got the whole thing, went completely in their favor. And there were a few little behind the scenes stories with that too. Anyway, they got the house and renovated it, and it's beautiful, just gorgeous. Unfortunately, it's also haunted, very. So, and we were talking with an interview I did with Keith Linder on his poltergeist experience. This stuff, you know, until you live in that environment, you can't appreciate how unsettling it can be when you really don't know when you're going to go to sleep at night, whether you're going to make it through the entire night. And that's the deal. On the tour, he's talking to people who are visiting and saying, I love the house during the daytime. It's pleasant. It's friendly. It's beautiful. And at night, it's just a whole different story. So if you have a chance, the Weston Ghost Tour is an interesting way to come up, you know, in our area anyway, up close and personal to encounter the stories from people who are living it, of their experiences with ghosts. And then there were also a few sightings that happened this time as well. Never a dull moment. Anyway, they had to... One of the ghosts likes to haunt the bathroom hallway. So somebody, Verna Cowartz, the proprietor there at Main Street Galleria, she said the woman came out and she's looking at her, kind of perplexed, confused, disoriented, and looking back behind her and at Verna. She says, somebody passed me in the hall. I saw a woman pass me in the hall. And she went into the bathroom and there was nobody there. Nobody had passed her. Somebody did, but there was nobody visible. And so she was a little bit, at that point, a little anxious. She goes downstairs, and then Verna hears from one of the workers downstairs. She was outside. She went on out. She said, well, somebody pulled her hair. The ghost pulled her hair. So she stood outside looking in, deciding whether or not she wanted to go back in. Her friends came in and started trying to take pictures of the ghost. And she came back in to retrieve them. Then that they pointed to a picture on the wall and said, is that one of the ghosts? And she said, yeah, that's her. And they left immediately. So these kinds of things just happen. It's not a one day of the year Halloween thing. It's a 24/7 thing. So just if you're curious, then maybe you could take a trip to Weston. I did go and get the float again this week. The neck injury I had with a car accident has been really improved a whole lot with the floats that I do with Floating KC. And it's a float room. These are rooms. They're full size. And so if you're interested in that, Floating KC does do an offer of 30% off your first float with them. Give them a call. It's relaxing one way or the other. You don't have to be injured. Just go in and take a chill session. And they also there's a massage chair, the zero-grav massage chair that starts out. So it was very, very therapeutic, okay? It felt really good. In the meantime, one more little thing on Twitter. You've heard so much about the bots. These guys, a couple of students who study computer science at UC Berkeley, have come up with a little thing. It's called Bot Check Me. You click it, and it's an extension for the Google Chrome browser. You click it, and it goes through and tells you whether the Twitter account is run by a person or an automated account, all right? That would be something to just add on immediately, because nobody else is doing it. These guys came up with the solution, and it's nice to know whether you're speaking with a bot or a real-life being. Up next, surviving death. A journalist investigates evidence for the afterlife. Leslie Kane, my guest on Wendy's Coffee House.
FM 1037 and AM 710. Stimulating talk. KCMO.
Hey there.
What's up, bruh?
Hello.
Aloha.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hola.
Hi.
It takes a lot of voices to create the sound of us. The Y welcomes all of them with open arms. From career readiness to safe spaces, the why is there, no matter who we are. Now, more than ever, they need your support. Donate to your local Y today. The Y, for a better us.
Read by members of the Y.
One size fits all has no place in your bedroom. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of Helix Sleep, and we know one mattress can't work for everyone. That's why we created the only mattress built for you. Go to helixsleep.com, take our two-minute sleep quiz, and we'll build your custom mattress and ship it to you for free. Try it for 100 nights, and if it's not the best sleep you've ever had, we'll pick it up and give you your money back. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio right now, and we'll give you $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Why have over 3 million guys switched to Harry's razors? Because we make just one perfect razor with 5 precision blades.
Ding!
We own the factory, cut out the middleman, and sell our blades for half of other overpriced 5-blade alternatives. Now we're dropping the half-price sound effects guy.
Wait, why?
Harry's. One perfect razor. None of the extra noise. Visit harrys.com today and use code 1717 to get a special trial offer. That's harrys.com, code 1717.
Servasi, servasi. Just practicing my accent and thinking about dinner. Because when I get a craving for Italian, no, I'm not talking about Leonardo DiCaprio. I rely on Servasi. They're real Italian ingredients, like 100% semolina pasta and extra virgin olive oil. With all that goodness on hand, it's so easy to create crowd-pleasing meals in no time. Because when you can't be in Italy, hear that, honey? At least we can eat like we are.
Find authentic Servasi pasta and more in the bright red and yellow package at a grocer near you. Servasi, born in Italy, made Italian in your kitchen.
If you're a baby boomer, we've designed a retirement show specifically for you. The Retirement Income Doctor, Mark Falter. Mark Falter is known as one of the top retirement minds in the country, and we've got him every Sunday morning at 9 and afternoon at 2.
Get great deals during the Menard Day Sale. Menards has the products you need to keep your vehicle running safely and smoothly. Replace your old wiper blades with Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They apply a water-repelling coating to your windshield every time you use them. In assorted sizes, just $15.29 each. Plus, give the perfect gift this Christmas with the Menards gift card. Find these and other big savings at Menards, your home improvement store.
Save big money at Menards.
Listen carefully to this investor alert from Protecting Your Retirement. Are you one of thousands recently told by your broker or fee advisor that they will no longer provide personal service because your assets are below their new minimum requirements? Call Don Wales and his team at Protecting Your Retirement. They are KC area's no fee, no minimum assets, no market risk, face-to-face financial professionals, and they intend to stay that way. They will never push you off to a robot or pool advisor. Protecting Your Retirement, 913-648-2700.
Hi, I'm Jay Ashcroft. Here at the Secretary of State's office, we take the integrity of our elections seriously. Last November, Missourians agreed and passed Constitutional Amendment 6. Missouri's new photo ID law is now in effect. Have questions about the new voter ID law or need to register to vote? We're here to help. Visit showittovote.com or call 866-868-3245. Remember, if you're registered to vote, you can vote.
Sponsored by the Missouri Secretary of State's office.
FM 1037 and AM 710. Stimulating talk.
They cover every story that's pertinent.
KCMO.
Let them deal with the issue.
I look at the country and it is very divided. And you've got to wonder where it's going to lead to.
Stand up and debate it.
Let's solve the problem.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Coffee House, KCMO, Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. My guest tonight, Leslie Kane, has done her homework. I first talked to her when she had the book out, UFOs, and it was generals, pilots, and government officials on the record. She did a slam dunk job on that. And it was so nice to see somebody take this thing seriously and then get all their ducks in a row and come out with, I think, irrefutable proof that this stuff is happening and there are people in higher places who know what they're talking about. And finally, you know, getting them all together to talk about that was a coup, a major coup. So now with Surviving Death and her exploration investigation into the afterlife, she's done another fabulous job in doing her homework. And Leslie, really, this is a fantastic job that you've done, I think. And you give people a whole lot more, I think, support for what they have experienced and maybe a few tips on what to look for if you're doing your own, if you've had an experience with somebody who's crossed over and whether it's legit, if you're going to a medium or something like that to find out more. So thank you. And now Let's get started.
Thank you, Wendy. Thanks for all those kind words. And yeah, I do think if people have had, most people have had experiences, or they know someone that has, and yeah, this book could sort of help people put that in context and see that, see what all this kind of factual evidence is that supports the experiences that they've had. So it's very comforting in that way, I think.
Who were the experts that you found the most, I guess, supportive in terms of what you were looking for and maybe credible for somebody else who's looking at this from a scientist background?
Oh, well, I mean, there were so many, and there were actually some of them that actually wrote chapters in my book. So, of course, those are the ones that I feel most connected to. For instance, Dr. Jim Tucker, who wrote about the reincarnation cases, particularly of, I covered some of the cases in my book, but he wrote a chapter which focuses on young children that have these memories from all over the world. And so he's incredible. He's the successor to Ian Stevenson, who some people may have heard of, who studied these cases for decades and just died maybe 5-10 years ago. So he's one of them. And then there's Kim Van Lommel, who I absolutely think is terrific, the cardiologist who has studied near-death experiences and consciousness and written lots of books about it. And Peter Fenwick is another one. He's British. He studies end-of-life experiences. And these people are just, Wendy, they're so eloquent. They're so kind of distinguished. And, you know, these elderly gentlemen who have been doing this forever.
Yeah,
and it's just been such an honor for me to have them in the book and to be part of the book. Another person I really love is Julie Beischel. She's a PhD who studies mediums, and she works out of an institute called the Winbridge Institute in Arizona. You've probably heard of her.
Yeah,
she's fantastic. I mean, there are these very highly educated people who have devoted themselves to studying various areas of this question of survival, and I've kind of tried to pull them all together and pull in the kind of most essential, what I think to be the most evidential and most essential information. So there's a lot of really great experts that have been, that I've been able to benefit from knowing and from also studying their work.
Well, we actually,
Erlinder Haraldsson is absolutely incredible. Have you heard of him?
No.
Erlinder Haraldsson, yeah. He's a psychologist from Iceland who is really one of the giants in this field. I encourage everybody to look him up. He's probably written, you know, 20 books or something. He studies mediums. He has studied reincarnation cases, psychic phenomena, you know, a whole range of stuff. And his books are very accessible. And, you know, he's probably in his 80s now. He's late 80s even. So he's just had an amazing career. And I recommend him highly to people.
I was going to say that we do have a local connection with the Winbridge Institute, and that's Tracy Bray. She's a medium who is certified through that organization. And there's some rigid criteria that they go through to make sure that they get a certification. And you worked with a couple of mediums, and you had some incredible results. The other thing I wanted to mention, you also had people who had died recently, which that isn't always the case when you're doing the research, and I think that probably was a crucial element.
I know. I mean, it was just, it just all sort of came together, and not that you're ever happy to lose somebody, absolutely not. It was an absolute shock for me when I lost my brother. He was younger than me, and I never expected that he would suddenly die. And so it was tragic, but it also happened during the time I was writing this book, and I was very kind of plugged into all of this. And as far as I, you know, as I understand it, there were some communications that came through from him. Now, you know, I can't prove that, but I do write about that in the book, what happened to me and how I interpreted it and how I relate to it. And I'm sure other people have had similar experiences. So, yeah. And then I had lost a very close friend right before, and that was in 2011, who I was actually with when he died. So I had the experience of being with somebody when they took their last breath, which is also kind of a profound moment for anybody. And stimulated my mind, too, to ask a lot of questions and kind of try to deal with the almost surreal experience of witnessing that. It's just incomprehensible when that happens.
You're talking about Bud Hopkins?
Yeah, when Bud Hopkins died, I mean, I was actually, you know, he was in hospice, so it was a peaceful kind of slow and process in which we knew it was going to happen. So we were able, it was one of those deaths that was very peaceful, and you could just sit with the person. And then we were holding his hand. I was with his daughter, and you know, he's breathing, and then suddenly he stops breathing, and that's it. And you just, it's just such a mind-blowing thing. I don't know, it's hard to explain it unless you've experienced it, but that also sort of helped stimulate me to want to go more in this direction with the research. So
anyway. I remember prior to my grandfather's passing, the energy that had built up, I remember touching, just, you know, making that connection and touching his hand, and I had a bruise on my hand from the energy that was building from him preparing to transition. And that was one of the things I thought was so striking in terms of nobody prepares you for some of these other little things that happen at the time. And of course it's different with each week transition, but I was like, my gosh, you know, the body was actually building energy and storing. And I thought, my.
Wow.
So, but, you know.
You actually had a bruise that you could see on
yes,
your hand.
Yes, on my hand.
See? Yeah, wow.
On my hand.
That's incredible.
From like that energy, that's, you know, that spark. And I, so I knew, and, you know, some of these things you experience, I've experienced with pets, and I've experienced a dog when he was transitioning, and he, we had to euthanize him. And then I had asked him, because this is really, really tough. It's tough losing anybody, and pets you have
right.
An emotional connection to. And I asked him, please let me know you'll be okay. And the moment he exited, he went, I felt him just go right through me, right through my face, my head, just on through. And I thought, wow, because it was a physical action and it happened.
Wow.
And these aren't things you can prove to people, but once you've had your own
no.
experiences, then there's nobody else who can tell you or explain about it, really. It's that thing of, okay, I know what happened. And
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that part.
That's amazing, yeah. Yeah, I mean, these experiences are life-changing, absolutely.
When you talk, I mean,
and, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, no, I was just going to say, I mean, the experience is sort of the foundation for all of us. But then, you know, I have this, as a journalist, and sort of this, with this probing mind, you know, I have this desire to sort of say to the world, look, you know, how can anybody out there say that these things aren't real? And so by doing research, you can show that there's a context for them, that they've been studied, and that there are, that you can document the fact, for instance, that extremely powerful psychic abilities exist. And, you know, whether they have to do with survival after death, we can't prove that, but we can certainly prove that the phenomena exist that would suggest that. And so I love taking the personal into the kind of more factual, evidential world, and saying to the people out there who are so skeptical, you know, how do you deal with this? You can't explain it away. It's real.
Well, what I like is when the skeptics do have an experience, and then they have to shift their own reality. And that Michael Shermer
right.
thing,
like
is,
Michael Shermer, yeah.
And it's like, yay,
that was a lovely
dunk.
Article he wrote. Oh, it's just a lovely article. And you know, when you think about his experience in the range of what experiences there are that people can have, his was really not very dramatic.
No,
I mean, it was fairly mild, but that was enough to really make him open his eyes. And it, you know, and I start to think, what if he had some of these other experiences? What would that do to him?
I know. Yeah. Well, it's the white crow thing. You know, this. You know, you can't prove. You've got all the
right.
black crows, and then there's this. If you can find the white one, then all of a sudden things are different. And that, for me, that's what this is. A lot of it is also letting people know. And you went to areas that some people aren't familiar with, and that was the full form materializations. That isn't a normal topic in a lot of these surviving death books, okay?
That's no, so. I mean, physical mediumship is very strange, and it isn't normal, you're right, the whole world of it. And that's why I was very careful in my book to kind of walk people gradually through various areas of this, hoping that by the time we came to these really more extreme scenarios, such as physical mediumship, that they might be ready to be open to it, because I try to open the door one step at a time for people. And sort of start with stuff that's easier to access, and then gradually move forward and ask different questions. And there's a sort of a structure to it that I think makes sense. But when you take it out of context, Wendy, and you just sort of throw it out there, oh, you know, materializations, it's just almost impossible to talk about it in that context. It's impossible for people to deal with it, and I don't blame them.
Well, we need like 2 or 3 hours to explain it.
What's that?
We need 2 or 3 hours to explain it.
I know, but that's the value of my book. I mean, I'm not trying to overly promote it here, but I really gave a lot of thought into sort of putting it in the framework that would make it accessible to people.
Yeah.
You know, leading, for instance, you know, as you recall, I talk about some of the ways that we know that even human beings can affect the physical world,
mm-hmm.
you know, without the help of any spirits, that there's all kinds of psychokinetic things that happen. So if you can accept that, then you go one step further, and maybe you can accept, you know, that objects can be moved by a spirit or by some kind of energy with a medium, and maybe therefore you can accept that something can materialize when you see all these scientists that have seen it and documented it, you know. So it's sort of a gradual progression.
Okay.
But I think the scientific documentation of it is an important component, because people can feel safe and not feel it's just some crazy thing that crazy people are talking about.
Right.
No, these are skeptics. These are profoundly skeptical, very sophisticated people who went out and studied these mediums and observed these things and forced to come to the conclusion that they're real. They couldn't explain it.
That something's happening. So, well, and so just to give people a setup for the normal PK stuff, it's like when you are upset, you are highly emotional. And it can go both ways. It can go that you're super happy, but usually it's super upset, frustrated. Then you will notice that you have a tendency to experience computer malfunctions or lights, you know, shorting out, or batteries having a problem, or cars breaking down. Those kinds of things are electrical anomalies that are sometimes experienced by people who have had these incredible and intense emotions, and they don't connect the dots until people start saying, well, I've had this experience too. And that's a PK. That's a PK example of what that might happen. And there are some people who can't wear watches because their bodies are just too, there's the electrical stuff isn't compatible. And those are, you know, subtle PK elements of what our body is doing that we really aren't really tuned into. But so to get from there to can a non-corporeal form make an impact on our reality? Well, I've had enough experience with ghosts to say, yeah, they can. But,
right.
But I don't have the documentation.
When you look at it from a very sort of objective, you know, or whatever, you know, a really hard-nosed kind of objective perspective, you have to acknowledge that some of these things that we think are caused by spirits may not be. They may be that human beings have greater powers than we understand to facilitate, you know, physical psychokinesis and the movement of objects and things like that. It's very hard to be able to determine. You can't prove what's the cause of it. That's the point.
Well,
and I acknowledge that in the book, but there's reasons. But there are many reasons that one would lean in the direction of it being something. Some kind of, certainly an external force. But anyway, there are people that argue and have thought a lot about this and will argue that it's possible that human beings themselves can create these effects without the use of any external spirits or dead people or anything like that.
That's what I like about what you've gone through and tried to do is remain objective. Even though you're experiencing some of this stuff personally, you're still saying, okay, I can't prove that the psychic didn't have some kind of a telepathic connect with me and read my information instead of, you know, getting it from somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to be willing to look and be willing to acknowledge that because it's really a valid argument. And even Julie Beichel, who, you know, it's her life to study mediumship, she will say, and she wrote a brilliant chapter in my book about how they do it there at Winbridge and what she thinks about mediumship. And we're talking now about mental mediumship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she says plain as day, there are two possibilities, and it's like 50-50. We don't know which it is. And the two possibilities are that the medium is bringing through information from a deceased person, which is what they think they're absolutely convinced is happening. And the second option is that it's the medium's psychic abilities that are doing it. And one of the ways we can approach this is to try to learn more about what the process is that the medium is going through, because who knows better than they about what's happening? They're the ones we have to talk to about it. How do they know? How do they know the difference, you know, between their facilities of mind? Are they? How do they know when they're using their psychic powers versus their powers to access deceased spirits? And so I do look at that in the book, and I've interviewed some mediums and try to discern, you know, what the difference is for them.
It feels different.
Because they're the ones that are doing it. They know more than anybody else, and you have to respect what they say, I think.
Yeah, it feels different. And that's you also approach that, having them describe how it feels. And there's one that you get, and she has three different, you know, there's a north, straight ahead, neutral, and left and right, and the images come from different areas so that she can track who she's getting it from. I think the right is the dead, and the left is the PSI. It's in your book, so you can track it. But
it's a screen that she sees. Yeah, exactly. Different sides represent different things.
Yeah. And so, but each intuitive does something different. So just because that's her way, she said she didn't know anybody else who does it that way. And that's typical.
Right.
Each one has to figure
out. Absolutely.
So.
Yep. Everyone has. And some of them will just say to you, I can't really tell the difference, and I don't really care. You know, and why should they? I mean, if they're helping people and they're bringing through accurate information to people, they're not sitting there thinking about necessarily, you know, well, where is this information coming from? I mean, as far as they're concerned, it's the information that's important. And whereas other ones will be very clear about the distinction between the two sources of information. So as you say, every medium does it differently.
Okay.
Absolutely true.
We're going to take a quick break. I want to know the experience that really shifted you, that really made you think something is going on. What was that for you? Because you did an extraordinary amount of homework on this. So just, you know, when we come back, lead with that one. And then there's also something in here about finding George.
George. Yeah, that's quite a story.
Yes.
It's fairly complicated.
Okay. Yeah. No challenge and no pressure. Okay. Well, we're going to come back. We're talking with Leslie Kane, Surviving Death, and a journalist investigates evidence for an afterlife on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO.
We tend to take the senses for granted. That is, unless there's a problem. Do you fear losing your hearing or eyesight? There is a spiritual fact to follow. Find out how spiritual power sharpens our faculties. Hear how embracing this spiritual fact can enable you to find freedom and healing on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel, Sunday morning at 8:30 on KCMO Talk Radio.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school? Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the
CBS Ed News special report. Sunday services were underway in Sutherland Springs, a Texas town just east of San Antonio. This morning, a man had stopped at a gas station.
He was dressed in all black. That suspect crossed the street to the church, exited his vehicle, and began firing at the church.
Department of Public Safety's Freeman Martin says that man went into the church, kept firing. Now, 26 people are dead, 20 others wounded. This woman lives in Sutherland Springs.
We have a lot of loved ones and neighbors that attend that church, and this has been just devastating. This is a very small community.
Tonight, just down the road from the First Baptist Church, a vigil this evening. Suspect Devin Patrick Kelly is dead. He drove off from that church, was pursued by police, found off the road. Not clear, though, if he killed himself. He was court-martialed in 2014. His time as an Air Force airman had ended. No word on motive. CBS News Special Report. I'm Dave Barrett.
KZTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
North winds during the overnight continue to bring in cool air, waking up chilly in the 30s by early Monday. Skies staying mainly cloudy, 10% chance for rain during the day with highs cooler, only reaching the upper 40s and low 50s. I'm KZTV 5 meteorologist Ronald Williams.
The holidays are a time to enjoy with friends and family, and shouldn't include frantic headaches involved with planning parties and receptions. Michael Forbes Bar and Grill in the heart of Brickside can manage catering services for groups of any size. From a lunch drop-off at the office to a full sit-down dinner with family and friends, alleviate the headaches. Michael Forbes' full catering services include chef-prepared dishes as well as other party needs, from ordering and booking linens to floral arrangements to music and more. Let Michael Forbes take care of it all so you're able to do what you should do at your holiday parties. Enjoy the company of your guest. Call 816-326-1005 to book your holiday catering with Michael Forbes, or visit michaelforbescatering.com for more information. Michael Forbes, serving fresh, homemade quality for more than 35 holiday seasons.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Half of U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
My battle buddies and I attended the NHL Stadium Series at Yankee Stadium. We had the time of our lives. Ventix, we can't thank you enough.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Keeping you up to date.
Here we go again.
Kansas City's KCMO.
This is what we want. We're going to take control.
Listen to this.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk is on FM 103.7 and AM 710.
We listen all day.
I like being informed.
Now what we say really makes a difference.
Kansas City's KCMO.
So it's something we're all curious about, what happens when we die. And the experience is, in terms of having a ghost experience or a relative who has died or having a reading with a medium, might be able to shift us and give us a little bit more insight. But in some of this stuff, there's never real proof, and there's no scientific data that, you know, beyond all reasonable doubt, says that it's happening. However, there are some people who've dedicated their lives to trying to give us a clue. And so it's so nice to see this book by Leslie Kane, Surviving Death, exploring all the angles and a lot of unconventional sources to kind of give us a little bit of a heads up. The thing I wanted you to answer, though, first was what, during this research, what was it that really got you to think there's something to it?
Well, in terms of in terms of the research, there were lots of things. You're talking about the research aspect or my personal experience aspect?
Well, let's see the personal thing, because the research, we can all look at the numbers on that. The personal thing is when you go in as a skeptic saying, well, I'm going to be totally, you know, objective about this, and then all of a sudden the tables are turned.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think I was objective, as you said earlier. I mean, during the experience, you have to let go into that experience. But if you have a record of the experience, then you can be objective later. So when I did these mental mediumship readings, I think the first thing that really, I mean, in terms of the chronology of the things that happened to me, the first step was the readings that we were just talking about with these two extraordinary women mediums who got through two people who were close to me, both of them saying the same things, basically. I mean, it's a long story, but they repeated things that they had said the first time, and they were just so accurate. I mean, these mediums probably had 90% accuracy, which is very unusual. And I was really careful that they couldn't know who I was, mm-hmm. particularly the second medium that read for me, who was in Ireland. I even made up a fake name to contact her with. I got a different separate email address from my normal email address. She had no idea what my name was or where I lived, even on the whole planet.
Yeah, it was
She's in Ireland. She just worked through the computer. So
yeah.
When you're sitting there with somebody who doesn't even know your name or where you are, and you just get 1, 2, 3, 4, bing, 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 accurate points coming through about that she is saying is from the person you lost, and they are accurately describing who that person was, it's really quite mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And I never, I'd heard about mediumship, but I was skeptical like anybody else. And, you know, I was very fortunate to have these extraordinary readings for whatever reasons. They just really happened at, you know, extremely high level for me.
Well,
they were about 2 months apart, you know, those are sort of the first thing that made me think, oh my God, you know, how does she do this? What does this mean?
Right.
Look what's happening here.
Yeah. Well, and there's some talk about with the movie coming out, Third Eye Spies, with the PK stuff, and some of them, you can't hide something from a psychic because it stands out like a billboard. And so if you were trying not to have that information in your head, and yet this is the information you want to find out, that's the question. So was it a psychic reading, or was it a mediumistic hit?
Right, and it's not like I was holding the information in my head, that, you know, but if you want to, you know, in terms of telepathy, I mean, I don't think she said anything that I didn't know. But sometimes the mediums will provide information that the sitter thinks is wrong or doesn't know if it's right or not. And then they find out a couple weeks later when they go talk to their father, say, that some obscure detail was correct. That they, you know, so that does happen. But there's no way that I can prove where that information was coming from.
The mediums
are convinced. But the other component was, though, Wendy, that the personality traits of the person came through loud and clear, too. It wasn't just cold information, but their personality, their styles of communicating, their quirky character traits, those things came through as well. That's just as compelling as the information when that happens.
Let me give you from another vantage point. I did a reading on a woman, and the thing was that this is in a group setting, and you never know who you're going to get. And I said, so what does the name Priscilla mean to you? And she's like, nothing. Okay. And I'm thinking, gosh, Priscilla, this is okay. And I back off, and then two or three sentences later, okay, so Priscilla means nothing. And she says, no, Priscilla doesn't mean anything. And but there is somebody that has recently crossed over, yes. And the information I got intuitively was ask again. I'm thinking, I'm going to go down in flames doing this. So I said, fine, here we go, Priscilla. And she says, that was her given name, and we never called her that. That was what the family called her. She doesn't like that name. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it doesn't mean anything.
She knew that all along, and she just hadn't told you, or she just had forgotten, or what?
She did not like that name. There was such a conflict that I was basically insulting her by using that name, because that's not a name that, according to her partner, that she would have used. And at the same time,
but still, to say it didn't mean anything is completely an inaccurate response.
And that's what you have to be as an intuitive or a reader. You have to let them mm-hmm. say no, and you don't have to know whether it's right or wrong. You allow the information
right.
to go forward. And then the person, and that's what you're doing when you're finding this stuff out about, you know, reading and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The psychic, the intuitive, whoever it is, isn't trying to impress you. They're trying to get information that you will find valid. And the only way I could make that hit was to allow her to say, no, it doesn't mean anything. And yet at the same time, she knew whether it meant something or not. And then when it came out, I was so uh-huh. lucky. The slam dunk was when she said, fine.
Right.
And I just knew I was
but
going,
to say, you know. To say, I mean, the other thing I think that's crucial during a reading to really test it, and I was very careful about, was not to reveal any information to the medium, to basically answer yes or no. You know, does Priscilla mean something to you, yes or no?
Right.
But you don't want to, you don't want to say, oh, yeah, she was my mother, or she, yeah, she did this and that and the other. You have to be very careful to just, you know, not reveal anything. And I was so careful with that in my readings, not to,
part
you know,
of it
not
is,
to give away anything, so to speak.
You don't want them to project something. You want the information to be credible, and a good medium or psychic or intuitive doesn't need your information. They give it to you
right.
from where they come
from. They don't even
from.
Want it, I
no,
don't think.
No, absolutely.
It might even be make it harder for them.
It colors it.
It confuses them, you know?
It colors
yeah,
it.
And exactly.
So
yeah.
you really yeah. need to do a cold read and let it stand on its own. And so I was mm-hmm. I was just trying to give you a point from another perspective that when they're reading you, they are trying to have it be an open vessel, and they don't want you to help them in any way. And so
right,
by the kind
right.
of responses that you got, in my view, they were right on, and they were giving you accurate information that you could either say, okay, this works or it doesn't. And in the book, by, you know, spelling some of this out and giving people, and you know, who haven't gone and might be a little bit intimidated or unsure, there's no guarantee that whoever you go to is going to always be able to get that information. But when they do, it's such a relief. It's
right.
like a thank you. And that's the only reason somebody who does it really, it's a heart thing. It's a thing, you know, just a reassurance of it's okay. It's okay. There's more going on here than we can see. And mm-hmm. going behind the scenes like you have done, the thing I found fascinating was the one you did on George, that Finding George. That was really complicated. And yet,
right. It's complicated.
So,
yeah, I know, but it's great because, you know, this, basically the medium provided information that if it was accurate, which it seemed to be, nobody on the planet knew. So you can't say it was telepathy because she could, you know, some people will say even that telepathy can be so sophisticated that a medium can read the mind of somebody, you know, that they've never met in their lives, that has something in their mind, you know, in some other country. And, mm-hmm. you know, just this extreme ability that we might have. We don't know the limits of telepathy. But anyway, in this particular case that I write about in the book, telepathy couldn't have played a role. And it had to do with where a person was buried who had been lost in World War I. His family thought that this guy had been, was, you know, missing in action and had never been buried, so he didn't have a grave. And his grandnephew, who was very connected to this person who died, you know, in 1917 or 16, went to this meeting to try to find out what had happened to him. His name was George, and she gave him very specific information. And one of them was that the name of the grave plot, the name of the person buried next to the grave plot where she said George's body was, and, you know, just very, very specific information. And the sitter was able, went to the, you know, found out that there was a grave there, that there was an unnamed grave in that location, and that the deaths in that particular area of this huge graveyard had been the right time for when he lost his relative. So it was this whole saga this person went on, and it shows the value of mediumship to really be able to heal and give people enough information that they can, you know, use it in such a way that's really personally meaningful to them. This guy was able to find what happened to this person and his relative, who he had wondered about his whole life, and he felt a lot of resolution from going through this process. But
yeah.
but the ability of the
yeah.
medium in that case was extraordinary. And it is a little complicated to talk about,
I know.
The chapter's not that long, and, you know, I hope people will read it in the book. It's really fascinating.
That's why I wanted to, you know, that's something you found, and it was like, okay, this one is worth getting into because it's complex. And then to get all the hits that came as a result, it's like, whoa, how did that happen? All right, now, did you, the personal experiment, chapter 25, is that one?
Was that about
Stuart Alexander?
Oh, that's about with the physical medium. Yeah, and that's at the very end of the book when I'm hoping that people have gotten to a point where they might be able to accept the strange things that happen physical seances.
All right, well,
but that was a life-changing experience for me, absolutely.
Okay. Shh, wait. We're going to take a break because that I want you to
okay.
share, okay, because they're going to read the book. All right, the reincarnation stuff is fabulous. The other stuff that you're talking about is fabulous, but this is a slam dunk you don't get in the other books, okay? So that's why.
Yeah, no, I think it's true.
Okay, all right. So hang on, I'm going to take a quick break, and it'll be really quick. Leslie Kane, Surviving Death, a journalist investigates evidence for the afterlife. You want to stick around for this?
At our home, winter nights are complicated. Either I end up freezing.
Or I'm sweating.
Hi, I'm Missy Tannen.
And I'm Scott Tannen, founders of Boll & Branch, the world's most comfortable sheets.
And now, we've created the world's first luxury flannel bedding, available for a limited time at BollAndBranch.com. Try them risk-free for 30 nights.
Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com, promo code SLEEP.
If you need cash now, you need WeFixMoney.com. WeFixMoney.com could help you get up to $2,000 sometimes by tomorrow. And you don't need perfect credit. It's free to apply and available 24/7 from your computer or smartphone. Get up to $2,000 for rent, bills, child care, expenses, car repairs, or anything else. Trust WeFixMoney.com. Trust the name you know. WeFixMoney.com.
Why have over 3 million guys switched to Harry's razors? Because we make just one perfect razor with 5 precision blades.
Ding!
We own the factory, cut out the middleman, and sell our blades for half of other overpriced 5-blade alternatives. Now we're dropping the half-price sound effects guy.
Wait, why?
Harry's. One perfect razor. None of the extra noise. Visit Harry's.com today and use code 2424 to get a special trial offer. That's Harry's.com, code 2424.
School bus drivers, custodians, nurses, paraeducators, just a few of the education support professionals who help schools in Kansas run smoothly every day. This is Mark Farr, president of the Kansas National Education Association. They ensure that our students have a safe ride to school, healthy meals, and a clean environment to learn. So take a moment to say thank you to the ESPs in your school.
A message from Kansas NEA.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
An open line of communication between parents and teachers is vital to student success. This is Mark Farr, president of the Kansas National Education Association. Every child is unique, and each one learns differently. Share details about your students' needs with their education team, and keep them informed about pertinent life events. When parents and teachers communicate, students in Kansas succeed.
A message from Kansas NEA.
FM 1037 and AM 710. Stimulating talk.
They cover every story that's pertinent.
KCMO.
Let them deal with the issue. I look at the country and it is very divided. And you've got to wonder where it's going to lead to. Stand up and defeat it. Let's solve the problem.
Kansas City's KCMO. Stimulating talk for Kansas City.
Thank you very much for allowing average Americans to voice their opinion.
Thank you for allowing me to speak on this.
KCMO Talk Radio.
Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest tonight, Leslie Kane, surviving death. A journalist investigates evidence for an afterlife. Now, also read her book, UFOs. If you've missed that one, where have you been? Generals, pilots, and government officials. On the Record with UFOs. Fantastic book, fantastic information, and she's really got a lot of accolades for doing that. This one I think is just as good because it's going into an unconventional area where people are kind of, you know, on the fence about whether this is legit or not, and I'm biased. It is. So I'm glad that you're doing all the hard work. Thank you for getting your feet muddy. But this was what I thought was such a surprise because I read tons of these books. And the old stuff, this comes back from, you know, the old days when they were trying to say this didn't happen and yet they kept experiencing it. So you did a real, I think, you know, a leap of faith and took, you call this my astonishing second personal experiment. What was this like?
Right. And I just did that because the first one was the mental mediumship reading. Some sort of, I call it a personal experiment just because I'm trying to set up as many controls as I can, you know, and sort of see it as a test. But I'm jumping in 100% when it happens. So the second one involved this experience was a contemporary physical medium named Stuart Alexander, who lives in England. And he's an extraordinary, wonderful, very bright, and very genuine and honest person who's been doing, probably spent about 50 years now developing his mediumship. in a very kind of private, small, with a small group of people, sort of in a very private way, not looking for any exposure or anything like that. In fact, I had to get to know him quite well before he would be willing to even allow me to write anything in my book about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I go on, just so I don't forget, Wendy, I just want to tell your listeners that, because this is so difficult to understand, the physical mediumship, I just posted today on my website, which is survivingdeathkane.com, that's my last name, K-E-A-N, on this, I posted a video, a talk that Stuart Alexander gave in the U.K., which it's a video, and I just want to encourage people to watch it,
yes.
And they'll understand better what
yes.
I'm talking about if they watch that video.
Thank you.
Because you get a sense of who he is as a person, yeah.
I will link it.
Yeah, I mean, the video is great, and he talks about how he developed and how all these things, and it was a very long process for him. It took a lot of work and focus to develop these abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I had the good fortune of sitting with his small circle. I actually sat with him 4 times before I wrote the book. I've sat with him other times since then. And I was able to experience a lot of unbelievable phenomena that nobody would ever think are possible, but they are, because I experienced them and witnessed them myself. And that's what I discovered. And they involve, you know, the physical manifestations in this very controlled, tight environment that they've been generating for years. I mean, I'm not the first person to witness this, experience this. They've been generating it for years and years, and lots of people have been in that seance room and reported on this. There's a range of different things that happen, but it's life-changing. You realize that we don't really understand what reality really is all about, especially when we deny things that really do happen, and we, you know, we deny that they exist when they do exist.
When he's working
but you
with,
kind of, yeah,
I was gonna say, when he's working with people, as you said, you had to get to know him real well. So 4 times of talking with him and kind of, you know, breaking the ice. Does he require that with other people, or how does that work?
No, that was just in terms of me writing about him in the book.
Okay.
You know, and he actually, we've become to know each other very, he just respected me and could tell that, you know, he felt that my intention was pure and he just felt comfortable with the way I was approaching things.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually ended up himself writing the very last chapter to my book, which I think is just a beautiful way to end the book, because he's somebody who's absolutely convinced of the reality of survival. And I love for him to be the last voice that people read in the book. And then he writes himself about what it's like to do what he does and how he developed and what his thoughts are about life and death. But you know, he had to really trust me before he was willing to commit to do something like that. That's what I'm trying to say. If somebody is very sincere, and you know, they have guest sitters that come into the seance room and can sit with the group. So it's not like it's closed to people,
mm-hmm.
but I meant in terms of being part of this book, that was the decision that took some time for him to, you know, feel comfortable with.
Well, yeah, and part of that is because he believes in what he does, and he doesn't need anybody really advertising, because he's already got plenty of interest without doing that. He just comes at it from a whole different angle from the way I view it.
You're right. I mean, his focus is to develop and then to make it, you know, to allow people to come and sit and experience that, and it changes their lives. And that's what his goal is really for people to be able to get the message that we survive death. And that's what gives him satisfaction. He's not out for anything more than that, really. And he wants to develop and be able to, for what he calls the spirit people who come through him, to be able to do more and more advanced things. And so in order to do that, they just have to sit together week after week, year after year, and work with this, what he calls a spirit team, to develop these abilities. And so he's just very dedicated to that. He's not really, you know, he's not looking for anything else. That's the point.
Well, and this has to do with, you know, determining where consciousness resides. And a lot of people want to put it in a, you know, neat and tidy package and say, well, we can, you know, poke around it. Eventually we're going to find it. And most of these people who are mediums or researchers even are saying it's non-local. You're not going to find it there in the body, except
right.
That's where the emphasis is. So has that changed with you as you've been doing your exploring with this?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. And that's one of the themes I think that runs through the book, Wendy, you know, because it starts with the very simpler phenomena. But the one thing that runs all through all of them, one of the things, is the non-locality of consciousness. I mean, it's just consistent, whether you're dealing with the children with memories of past lives, or you're dealing with near-death experiences or veridical out-of-body experiences, all kinds of things. And certainly the experiences that we have in the seance room, absolutely. You know, all of it points towards non-local consciousness, towards the consciousness that's not, as you say, you know, dependent on the brain, that's not generated by the brain. But obviously the brain is the reception of it while we're here in this physical world. There are people that can, you know, explain this much more eloquently than I can, such as Pinda and Lummel. But yeah, when you're in that seance room, I mean, you could never come out of that room and feel that, oh, it's just biology, that the mind is just part of our biology, you know, or that consciousness is part of our biology.
It just doesn't
seem to be the case to me.
When I think of investigating these kinds of things and, you know, your own support team, mom, dad, was somebody else saying, hey, you know, this is a good thing that you're doing and keep doing it?
Well, you mean my support team personally?
Mm-hmm. Personally, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say a lot of friends and colleagues. Yeah, my family's been very supportive. I mean, they're not participating, but they are curious and supportive of what I do, absolutely. And that's another thing that happened while I was writing the book. I also lost my dad last year. He died, too. So, and I lost an uncle as well. So I've been dealing with a lot of people, you know, dying during this time. And my father was very, very supportive, and I was just so sad that he's not here now to... He actually was never able to read the book because he died quite suddenly, or I would have given him an earlier version of it. But so that's a loss. But yeah, there's a lot of support for me around, you know, in my personal network, which I value very highly.
Well, I knew there was for the first book because it took you 10 years to get to that one. And that was a whole lot of, just a whole lot of effort and going against the grain with saying, okay, I'm going to write it. This is the topic that people are frightened by, and that doesn't matter.
Right. And this one feels more risky in a way, like just because I do include my own bizarre personal experiences, which with the UFO book, I let other people describe their experiences and witnesses, you know, witnessing of the phenomena. But this time, with this subject, you have a choice. You can actually get involved with it yourself. And that's different. UFOs, you don't have that choice. You're either a witness or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have control over it. So this one is very different. And I, you know, the experiences I had were way more incredible than I ever thought they would be when I began. But, so it's different when you're a journalist to kind of combine objective journalism with this other component and try to put it all together. And so the book is sort of a fusion of the two things. Really.
What I thought was fascinating that you did experience four very close personal departures while you were working on this book. And I thought, good grief, the timing, the timing. And so, and I think that would have been helpful to have this as a basis to go to and say, all right, if I'm going to explore it, right now is the time. And here are my people. So did your father come through at any point?
No, I mean, my father, but I haven't really put that quote to the test, as you might say.
Mm-hmm.
It was really my brother who, I think we had the right kind of connection, and there was enough time. My father died actually last spring, and I'd already basically finished the book then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but when my brother died, which was in 2013, I was just beginning the book. And it was, you know, before I went and did my mediumship reading, before any of these things happened, and we had a very good, you know, a kind of connection
mm-hmm.
that was a very spiritual connection, and I just feel like there was something that happened there.
The timing,
I couldn't imagine, you know, and I think the energy my dad has is very different. I wouldn't expect that necessarily to happen. You never know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you never know. I'm going to leave it open. I got to let you go. I got to let you go. Surviving Death. This is a fantastic book. A journalist investigates evidence for an afterlife. A lot of stuff that you will find interesting, compelling, and completely unconventional in this book. And Leslie has done a fabulous job. Thank you. Thank you, Leslie.
Wendy, thanks so much for your kind words, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And if you've been listening to the program, you missed any of it, do the blog, wendyscoffeehouse.com. You can find out details there, and I'll link to Leslie, the video that she talked about, because some of this stuff is just, you know, it's food for thought, and it's experiencing something that may be a little unconventional for the first time, and you finally get that feeling of, oh my gosh, there's something to this. And it helps to have people who are doing research like this to give us a little bit more proof. Till next time, see ya. Stay curious.